This morning we're going to discuss a story in the Gospel of Mark, where the Lord was teaching a crowd along the shores of the Jordan River in Judea. And it says in chapter 10, "And they brought to him little children, that he should touch them. And the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, 'Let the little children come to me, and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Amen, I say to you, whoever shall not accept the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter into it.' And having taken them up in his arms and set his hands upon them, he blessed them." So over 2,000 years ago, when the Lord was on this very earth, teaching a crowd of adults along the shores of the Jordan River in Judea and southern Israel, little children came right up to him. Now, who would have brought those little children to the Lord? Do you think their parents would have brought the little children to the Lord? And can you imagine for a moment what that conversation would have looked like at home before they went to go see Jesus Christ? Perhaps it was something like this. "We're going to take you to see a very important man. He can do miracles. He can heal the sick. He can give blind. He gets sight to the blind. And he can cast out demons. And he is the man who we've read about in the prophets. He's the Messiah. We're going to take you to see him." And then picture the response. If your parents told you that, that would be pretty exciting, wouldn't it? "We're going to go see the Lord," because he's just over there teaching along the Jordan. Now, why would the parents have wanted their children to come see the Lord? So they could learn from him, right? And so they could feel the Lord's love. And he picked them up and touched them and set his hands upon them. He hugged the little children. Now, can we go to the Lord today like these little children did over 2,000 years ago? You know what? In a way, we can. And do you know what else? Your parents have brought you here just like those parents over 2,000 years ago, to bring you to the Lord. Because the Lord talks to us through the Old Testament, the New Testament, and in his second coming in the heavenly doctrine. So your parents bring you to the Lord just like those parents 2,000 years ago when you come to hear the words of the Lord. And in this case, in this story, in Mark chapter 10, these are words that the Lord spoke out of his very mouth. And they're here recorded so that we can learn from them now. But of course, all of the Old Testament, Moses wrote the first five books and the prophets the rest. Those words came from the Lord and are recorded for us to read today. And the New Testament with the disciples and then the heavenly doctrine through Emanuel Swedenborg. These are the words of the Lord recorded for us through different instruments so that we can hear them today and go to the Lord today, just like these little children did over 2,000 years ago. Now, what are some other ways that your parents bring you to the Lord? If you have family worship at home, your parents are bringing you to the Lord because you're reading the Word. If you pray at home, if you say the Lord's Prayer, you know the Lord's Prayer is in the Word. It's in Matthew chapter 6. You're going to the Lord. If you say your own prayers on your own, you're going to the Lord just like those little children did. Maybe if it's a hard day, you're asking for help. You're asking the Lord, help me. That's going to the Lord. If a great thing happens and you say, thank you, Lord, that little conversation with the Lord is going right to the Lord like those little children did. Now, some days you may do more of one than the other, and some days you might just do both. But every time you talk to the Lord, that's going to the Lord like a little child. Now, the summer is just about over, and on Tuesday, school starts. But did you know that if you go to Kempton New Church School, your parents are bringing you to the Lord too? You start every day by sometimes, depending on the grade, coming into this room and having chapel and going to the Lord, or having classroom worship and going to the Lord. But it doesn't stop there. If you're going to learn about numbers this year, for the first time, you'll learn the number one first. And you'll learn the oneness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll learn about the unity of God when you learn numbers. You'll learn that the Lord is the one God of heaven and earth, whose kingdom shall be forever and ever. So you go to the Lord in math class too. Now when you get older and you have human body, you'll go to the Lord as well, because your teacher will teach you not only about the heart and the lungs and how they work together to give oxygenated blood to the whole body and make it work. That'll help you learn about how a husband and a wife work together in a marriage. To look to the Lord and give nutrients and health to their marriage and to everybody around them when they look to the Lord and work together like a heart and lungs. And when you have English class and read Henry V, yes, you'll read a great Shakespearean play. And you will read about a wonderful military victory, but you'll also learn about how soldiers, when they're fighting to defend their nation, raise their minds up to the Lord if they love their country and love the Lord before they go into battle, and then descend into the battle so that they can do their job well, but then bring their minds back up to the Lord once the battle is finished. And when they do that, they're forms of charity. So even though the summer's over and school is starting, you'll still be going to the Lord at Kempton New Church School, but really, the most important way that your parents bring you to the Lord is through bringing the Lord into your home through the Word and teaching you how to follow it. Now, for those of us who are not literally little children, this story, of course, has application as well. And it's the internal sense of the story that helps those of us who are a bit older learn how to come to the Lord as a little child. Because a little child in the Word represents innocence. And we're taught in the heavenly doctrine that innocence is a willingness to be led by the Lord. Now, what is a willingness to be led by the Lord? How does that actually work in our minds? We can say, I'm going to follow the Lord. But in our minds, what do we have to do to actually follow the Lord? First, we have to choose to do it freely, and then choose to do it deliberately and consciously. Don't just sort of slide into it. I'm going to follow the Lord. And the heavenly doctrine teaches us to do it through what is called the affirmative principle. And in the Arcana Celestia, it says, to affirm the things which are of doctrine from the Word, or believe them within ourselves that they are true, because the Lord has said them. Do you think there's any doubt in those little children's minds who the Lord was when they went up to him? That's a way that helps us see how we need to approach the Lord with a willingness to be led by him. To affirm the things he says in doctrine of the Word, which is the Lord's second coming, affirm them because he said them. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to understand everything the first time we read it, or maybe even the second or tenth time. But what it does mean is that if we go to the Lord with this affirmative attitude, with a willingness to be led by him, in time he will help us understand everything he has to teach us. Because the second coming is a rational revelation, which we can understand. Now, what about the part where the Lord takes the little children up in his arms, sets his hands upon them, and blesses them? How does that work for us, those of us who are not little children? We can get an insight into this when we read about the special conjunction between parents and infants that occurs when parents take little children up in their arms. It says in Conjugal Love, number 396, that the innocence flowing into the souls of parents conjoins itself with the innocence of infants. And this conjunction is effected by means of the bodily senses, but especially with parents through the touch. For example, this is manifestly perceived from the pleasantness of carrying infants in the arms and from embracing and kissing them. From this it is clear that the innocence of parents and the innocence of infants meet each other through the touch, especially by the hands, and so conjoin themselves as if by kisses. Now, when we say the Lord's Prayer, we are addressing our Heavenly Father. Our Father who art in the heavens. So think about this special connection between parents and infants, with ourselves as the infant and the Lord as our Heavenly Father, who can touch us, we're taught in the heavenly doctrine, with innocence itself. Because the Lord is innocence itself. So if we approach him like little children, innocently, willing to be led by him, affirming what he says because it's true, patiently waiting to understand what we don't understand, he will touch us with innocence, his self, because he's our Heavenly Father. Now, how does this conjunction, which is easy to picture in this story from Mark, how does this conjunction work in our minds, though, as adults when we approach the Lord? Well, in a continuation of the explanation of the affirmative principle, it says in the Arcana that an affirmative attitude is therefore the first means, and so to speak, the first dwelling place of good flowing in from the Lord. The first dwelling place of good flowing in from the Lord. So when we deliberately and consciously choose to believe what the Lord says because he says it, when we read his word, that allows the Lord's divine goodness that comes from his divine love to have a seat in our minds. It's the first dwelling place of goodness from the Lord, is believing what he says. And that's how he touches us. That's how he touches us. But what does that look like in life? What it looks like in life is going from following what the Lord says, obeying the Lord's rules, like the children of Israel said they would do. It goes from obeying the law of the Lord, that may seem to be an onerous set of rules to live by, it goes from that to becoming an eternal vessel from which the Lord can spread his divine love to the entire human race. And the affirmative principle is the first step. Now we'll just finish with a portion of a passage from Heaven and Hell that really wraps all of these ideas up into a few short sentences. And this is from a section regarding the innocence of angels in heaven. As innocence consists in being led by the Lord and not by self, so all who are in heaven are in innocence. For all who are there love to be led by the Lord, knowing that to lead themselves is to be led by what is their own, and what is one's own is loving oneself. He that loves himself, not permitting himself to be led by anyone else. Therefore, so far as an angel is in innocence, he is in heaven. In other words, he is in divine good and divine truth. For to be in these is to be in heaven. Amen.